Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday morning to you. We hope that you all are healthy and doing well. We welcome everybody that's joining us via the internet. We certainly consider you a part of the New Life Church family, and it's always wonderful when we're able to be able to gather together through the internet as the family of God, and it reminds us that we are not alone, that we are a part of the family of God. If you're tuning in with us this morning, just leave us a comment, say hi, let us know how you're doing. We want to hear from you, and if you're listening from somewhere outside of our area, let us know where you are tuning in from, whether it's Canada or England or Morocco or wherever you might be. Just leave us a note, let us know where you're listening from. We certainly want to hear from you. We encourage you right now to take the opportunity to share the live stream on your social media. Just hit the share button so that your friends and family members can join us as well. Better yet, start a watch party, and that way you can interact and worship together with your family and friends, because everybody needs the hope and comfort that can be found only in the Lord. So let's give them that opportunity to be ministered to as well by sharing the live stream on our social media pages, and that extends the gospel to many more people. So be a social media evangelist this morning. Share the live stream. Invite your friends and family members to join with us. We're so glad that you're gathering together with us online to worship the Lord together this morning. And as we open, we're going to be reading from Psalm 33, verse 1, and also verses 20 through 22. The scripture says, "Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him." Then in verse 20, it says, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." And this psalm opens with a call to worship and to praise the Lord with joy. And then it goes through a list of reasons why he is deserving of our praise. And one of those reasons is that we have hope in him because he is our help and our shield. You know, one of the things that strikes me is that some of the most beautiful psalms were written out of situations of darkness, of pain, of hardship, and of sorrow. And yet they are songs of praise to the Lord that still ministers to us and brings comfort to us. So let's praise the Lord this morning, because we can depend on him, because he loves us, because he is everything that we need. So would you lift your voice and your heart together with me this morning as we worship the Lord and invite his presence to move among us? Lift your hearts with me. Our wonderful and loving Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning to thank you for your unfailing love towards us. We thank you that you are our help and our shield. And regardless of what is going on in the world around us or in our own lives, we thank you that we have hope in you, and you will not disappoint those who trust in you. We are depending on you, Lord. We are trusting in you. You are all that we need. We lift our hearts in worship unto you. We love you, we need you, and we want you, Lord God. We invite you to come now and fill our lives and our homes with your presence. We surrender ourselves to you. Have your way in us. May each person joining us today encounter you in a real and life-changing way. May all of us be changed by this time in your presence, and may your name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We have a couple of our worship team members with us this morning, and they're going to lead us out in worship with Pastor Anna. So would you lift your voice together with us as we worship the Lord?
Thank you. Hallelujah. We declare that our God is great, that there is no other God like our God. And we worship Jesus, the name that is above all names, in spirit and in truth. Have your way during this time, O Lord. We love you. We are your people. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Give you praise, Jesus.
All creation
Jesus. God is great, and his praise fills the earth, fills the heaven, and your name will be praised through all the world. God is great, sing his praise, all the earth, all the heaven, cause we live before the glory of your name, the glory of your name. Yes, oh Lord, we give you praise this morning, oh Lord. Be exalted, Jesus. This morning, holy is he. Holy is the Lord, the whole earth sing, the whole earth sing. Let's declare God is great. God is great, and his praise fills the earth, fills the heaven, and your name will be praised through all. Hallelujah.
Glory of your name.
Be exalted, be glorified, Lord Jesus.
Glory of your name.
Let's give God the hand of applause. He is worthy, he is good. He's our shepherd, he's our healer, he is our provider, and he always, always goes before you. He's your defender, he's your protector. We don't have to fear because the Lord is with us and he's filling us with his grace, with his anointing. David says, my cup runneth over. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Declare that where you are this morning. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written. It cannot prosper against me, against my family. It cannot prosper against my health, my finances. It is written. This is the promise of God for us. Hallelujah. Thank you for being our shepherd, Lord Jesus.
The Lord is my shepherd. Before
and say hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. Declare the Lord is my shepherd one more time.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Declare that where you are. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd.
He goes before me,
defending me, protecting me from harm.
Defender behind me.
Won't fear. My cup's overflowing.
My cup's overflowing.
No weapon, no weapon, no weapon, no virus.
Weapon can harm me.
Just declare that this morning I won't fear.
I won't fear.
Let's all lift our voices and sing hallelujah. Is with us. Your presence is a refuge. It's a strong tower. You are my comfort, Jesus. You are my hope. You are my peace. Always holding me close. Right where you are, tell him, you are my shepherd. I am your son. I am your daughter. And I thank you because I know that I am not alone. You are with me in the storm, protecting me, guiding me, leading me, providing for my needs. We might not have all the answers all the time. Sometimes we go through circumstances that at the moment we don't understand. But we have the assurance of knowing that you are with us, that your spirit is with us, that the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage is with us. And I declare this morning that the anointing of God is in this place. I declare this morning that the anointing of God is in your home, wherever you are right now. That the anointing is healing you, is strengthening you, is destroying the works of the devil in your life, in my life. Something is falling in this place. I already hear it, and I already feel it. And it's the Spirit of God. I declare that the Spirit of God is flowing through this transmission, wherever it is reaching. That the Spirit of God is here to save. That the Spirit of God is here to strengthen us, to set us free. That the Spirit of God is here to draw us closer to Jesus, to His presence, to His will this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts to your work this morning. Draw us closer to Jesus. Let the realities of the kingdom of heaven be manifested in this place, be manifested in our homes today. Hallelujah. Something's
falling here today.
Oh, yes. Leave your hands where you are and worship Jesus. Worship Jesus. Forget about your problems for one moment. Forget about what's going on for one moment and just worship Jesus. Worship is a powerful weapon, church. Let's declare it one more time. I can hear you right here in the spirit. I can hear you. Something. Yes, oh Lord.
I can feel it over me. I will lift my hands to Him and His glory. And His glory I shall see.
His glory.
His glory is falling.
Oh, I feel it. Him is worthy to receive praise. In the storm we worship, in the crisis we worship, in the storm we declare the word of God that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God. Declare that one more time. Something.
Something falling here today.
Something is about to happen in your home right now. Hallelujah. I can feel the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Flowing over you. Blowing over you this morning.
and his glory. And his glory I shall see.
Let's declare it one more time. Something is about to happen.
Something's falling here today. I can feel it over me. I will lift my hands to him, and his glory I shall see.
Fall over me, Holy Spirit.
His glory is
está cayendo su gloria sobre ti,
su gloria sobre mí,
sanando
heridas, levantando al caído, su gloria está aquí.
The glory of God.
His glory is falling.
In his glory there is healing. In his glory there is victory.
I feel it all.
Just take a moment just to worship Jesus right where you are. Enter the glory of the Most High God. There is nothing, there is no one like Jesus. Just worship him right where you are. Just worship him. Just love on Jesus for a moment. Just open your heart to the presence of the Lord right now, because in his presence there is fullness of joy. If you're sick, in his presence you're going to find healing right now. If you're weary, if you're discouraged, let the presence of the Lord encourage your heart right now. If you're having financial struggles, in his presence there is supernatural provision for your life. If you're lost, if you're confused, in his presence there is revelation, there is wisdom to guide you and to show you the way.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just worship and lift you up right now. We are so grateful to you, Lord God, that you are near to all who call upon you in faith, Lord God. Thank you for your presence right now, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would just envelop your people in your glory at this moment, Lord God. For in your glory is everything that we need. You are our all in all, Lord God. Father, minister right now. Touch lives and hearts, oh God. Do what only you can do. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you as we go before the Lord in prayer this morning. If you have a need, to just reach your hand out to God as a sign of faith that you are trusting in Him. And as we pray this morning, we have several needs that we need to bring before the Lord. As many of you are aware, we prayed on Wednesday for Josie, our children's ministry director, who was diagnosed with COVID. She is admitted to the hospital now, and they found pneumonia in her lungs, making it very difficult for her to breathe. She urgently needs our prayers. We also want to pray for a family in our church. Maddie is one of our Royal Ranger leaders, and her son attends here. Her husband has been diagnosed with COVID, and Maddie and her son are now being tested, and this is a particularly difficult issue for her because she just lost her father 2 months ago in New York with that COVID outbreak up there. And so you can just well imagine how difficult this must be for Maddie and her family. So let's lift them before the presence of the Lord. And if you have a need in your life right now, just stretch your hand out to God as we pray and believe the Lord to minister and to make Himself manifest in your life. Heavenly Father, we just come before You right now, Lord God. We thank You, Lord, that You have promised in Your word time and again, Lord, that we can cry out to You and that You will hear us and that You will answer us, Lord God. Father, we are lifting before You all of these needs, Lord God. We especially stand in the gap for Josie right now, Lord God. Father, we pray that You would just fill that room where she is in the hospital with Your healing presence, Lord God. Stretch forth Your hand. Touch her body, Lord God. Touch her lungs, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, breathe into her the breath of Your life. Clear her lungs of this infection, Lord God. Father, stop the multiplication of this virus in her system. Lord God, quicken her by the power of the Holy Spirit and restore health and strength to her body in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift Maddie and her family before You right now, Lord God. Father, we are praying for her husband, that You would touch him, Lord God, that Your healing virtue would flow through his body even now, that You would clear his system of this virus, Lord God. And Father, we lift Maddie and Jaden before You right now. Let Your covering protection be upon them. Father, we pray when they get tested that they will not test positive, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that You would just give them peace right now, Lord God, throughout this trial, Lord. Father, we lift Your people before You right now. You see every hand that is upraised before Your presence, and You know perfectly every need. Father, for those that are sick, we pray the release of Your healing virtue into their bodies right now. Touch them, Lord. Touch them and restore health. Father, for those that are struggling with financial needs or unemployment, Lord God, Father, our eyes are upon You. We are looking to You as our provider, Lord God. Father, we pray that You would just make a way for them, that You would open doors of employment for those in need of a job, Lord God. And Father, that You would supply for those, Lord God, who are in lack, oh God. Father, we pray for those that are having marital difficulties as this time of stress, Lord God, has placed even more pressure on marriages. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would intervene in marriages, Lord God. Father, that You would touch hearts, Lord God, that You would humble hearts, that You would soften hearts, Lord God. Father, we pray that hearts would be open to see and realize the changes that each one needs to make, Lord God. And Father, we pray that You would just bring healing and restoration in homes. Father, for every difficulty, for every trial, for every affliction Your people are facing, Lord God, stretch forth Your hand right now and show Yourself mighty towards them, Lord God. Intervene and turn these situations around for their good and for Your glory. We ask You to do what only You can do, and we know that nothing is impossible with You. We ask all of these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Please continue to keep Maddie and Josie in your prayers. Once again, we welcome all of you for joining us this morning because, as I've said, we all need now more than ever the encouragement and the hope that comes through the Word of God, through the worship, and through connection with the family of God. We just want to keep you informed and updated on what we're doing and how we can keep connected during this time. As many of you know, we were We're announcing in-person resumption of services for today, July 12th, but because of the surge that is happening, particularly in our state and here in South Florida, we have decided to postpone that. I saw a video announcement from one of our sister AG churches in Miami, and they had tried to resume in-person services, but now the pastor has gotten infected, and they've had to shut back down their in-person services. And so we believe that it's wise and prudent at this moment to just keep everything online. And so we're going to continue holding that course for the immediate future. And we are praying and monitoring the situation and just seeking God's guidance and wisdom, because the safety and well-being of our congregation are of our first priority. So we want to do everything with great wisdom. Anyway, we want to remind everybody that we're live streaming our services several times a week to be able to continue ministering to you. Our live stream is available on Facebook, YouTube, and on our website. And then after the services, it's also uploaded to Vimeo and Podbean and Apple Podcasts, so that there are many different avenues for people to connect and to be ministered to. And if you miss any of our services, or you want to go back and hear any of our services, even after the live stream ends, it remains on Facebook, it remains on YouTube, so you can always catch up, or you can go back and listen again. We encourage you to do so. Our Sunday services, as you know, are at 11 a.m., and we do have children's ministry on Zoom. And even though Josie is in the hospital right now, she has a children's ministry team that is carrying on the children's ministry with Deanna and Barbara and others. And so we appreciate them so much. And so be sure your kids are tuning in to Zoom during this time. Also tonight, be sure to be back and tune in with us at 6:30 for a time of prayer, encouragement in the Word, and worship from the home with Pastor Anna and Joyce. And then, as you know, on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m., we have a time of worship and the Word and prayer with our pastoral staff. And then on Thursday nights, Pastor Anna and a portion of the worship team also does a time of prayer and worship. So we encourage you to tune in as often as you can, because now more than ever, we need to stay anchored to our faith and the hope that is ours in Christ. We encourage you to just like our New Life Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel, and that way when you're online and we go live, you will be immediately notified of that. And keep checking our Facebook page, because we put announcements there, we put information there, and more than that, every single day, multiple times a day, we are posting inspirational messages to encourage and minister to you. So check back often. We also want to remind you that we have youth, young adults on Mondays and Tuesday afternoons. We have life groups throughout the week. We have girls ministry on Wednesday afternoons for one set of girls, on Thursday afternoons for another set of girls. So there's a lot of ministry going on. Our evangelism team ministry meets by Zoom. Our healing prayer and senior ministry meets by phone conference. And so lots of ministry going on. If you want access to any of these ministries, just be sure to email us at churchoffice@nl-fl.org, and we will be certain to get you the access information. We are grateful for all of these wonderful tools that enable us to continue to connect with one another and worship the Lord and minister to each other and grow in the Lord, as well as reaching the lost. We continue to fulfill our church vision to be a church not contained within walls. Of course, we certainly miss you terribly, and we are longing for the day when we will be able to be back together in person. But in the meantime, know that we are here to minister to you. And if you have any prayer requests, we encourage you to call the church office, or to email us at churchoffice@nl-fl.org, or you can leave them in the comments, because after the services, Pastor Anna and I go back through the comments, and we do pray for any of those prayer requests that we did not cover during the services. So you can feel free to do that any way that is most convenient for you. At this time, we're going to prepare to worship the Lord with our giving, and I want to share a passage of scripture to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving. Reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. The scripture says, "In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was the captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everybody in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. 'Cornelius,' the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. 'What is it, sir?' He asked the angel, and the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summons a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore." And then the New King James Version says, "He will tell you what you must do." I want you to see, Cornelius was a man who desired to know God, but he had a limited knowledge of God. He had been exposed to Judaism. He had some understanding of Judaism, but he didn't know about Christ. He didn't know about Jesus. And so he's described as a devout, God-fearing man because he sincerely wanted to know God. And within the limited knowledge he had, he was walking in the fear of God, in that he was trying to live a God-honoring life. And a part of that was that he prayed regularly and that he gave offerings regularly. And because of Cornelius' desire to be a godly man, God sent an angel to him. And the angel said, "Your prayers and your gifts have been received by God as an offering." Now, the angel proceeded to tell Cornelius that a man named Peter had the answer to his prayer, and that Peter would tell him what he needed to do in order to have a close relationship with God. And of course, Peter was going to come and preach and tell them about Jesus, and his whole household was going to get saved. But the King James Version says, "Your prayers and your gifts have become a memorial before God." And that means that God keeps a record of our prayers and our giving. And when we give today, our giving serves as a reminder to God of our faithfulness and of our love and our desire to please Him. So the next time we pray and present our request to God, He will see a memorial before His eyes, a memorial of our faithful giving. Our giving today is building a memorial before God, a reminder to Him of our faithfulness, of our love, of our desire to please Him. And when we give, we don't give to be seen by men, but we can be sure that God sees our giving and that He takes note of it. He is keeping record of our giving. And it plays into His answering of our prayers. So let's give today as an act of love and worship to the Lord. We give in faith, knowing that He promises to bless us as we give. And through your financial and generous giving, we are able to continue ministering locally here in our community and globally through more than 50 missionaries that we partner together with on a monthly basis. And just this week, I was able to minister to a man who connected with us online through an online evangelistic organization that we partner with. And he's alone, and he lost his job due to COVID-19. He is depressed, and he shared that he was feeling worthless and that he was feeling as if there was no reason to live and that he was contemplating suicide. And I was able to minister to him and share Christ with him and pray for him and give him some suicide prevention resources. And situations just like that are taking place multiple times a week. In fact, since the beginning of COVID-19, the responses we have been receiving are 3 to 4 times more than what we were receiving prior to the pandemic. So there is this great need and this great openness. And because of your faithfulness and your giving, we are able to continue to minister to people. So let's worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings now. I worship the Lord with my giving. Right before the service, I gave my tithes. I gave my offerings through text giving. It's safe. It's easy. It's simple. All you have to do is enter the phone number to your phone, 954-516-1522. Save that number to your phone's directory, then go into your texting app and text any amount. If you're going to text 25, you text 25. You don't need any decimal or cents. If you're giving 50, it's just 50, and hit send. And if you don't put anything after the numbers, then that goes to tithes and offerings. If you're giving to the building fund, you text the amount followed by the word building, or missions, the amount followed by the word missions, hit send. If it's your first time giving, when you give, you're going to be sent a link. Just click on that link. Complete the payment information, your name, etc., and the system will save it thereafter. And anytime you want to give after that, you don't have to re-enter it. All you have to do is pull that phone number up and give. And so it's very simple. You can also set up automatic giving, where it will automatically, according to what you designate, you can designate it to give weekly or bi-weekly or monthly, however frequently you are accustomed to giving, and then it will automate your giving for you and make it even more simple. If you're not comfortable with text giving, then of course you can go online. Just go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Give tab, and on that page it will outline your online giving options. You can give through Purpose Gateway, which is the same provider that we use for text giving, but it's their online portal, or you can give through PayPal if that's more convenient for you. And if you're not comfortable with electronic giving, then you're always welcome to mail your tithes and your offerings into the church. So any way you choose to give, let's worship the Lord with our giving. And that information is on your screen for your convenience. Right now, wherever you are, as you give, just lift your phone if you're giving by text, or touch your computer or tablet if you're giving online. And we're going to declare by faith God's promises over our life. Let's lift our phone or our device to the Lord, and let's just declare his word. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Once again, thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. We certainly appreciate it. I know that God will bless it. And take this opportunity, as Joyce comes and leads us out in song, to give your offerings and your tithes to the Lord. God bless you. You are still God. You are still in control. And we can trust you, Lord. Father, come now and anoint your message as it has been going forth, Lord God. And touch our hearts, touch our minds. Let your purpose be accomplished in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Joyce. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Acts chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses from there, and also in Matthew chapter 24. If you don't have your Bible, go grab it real quick, or download the YouVersion app on your phone, and you can search for these scriptures. Acts chapter 1, and also from Matthew 24. We're continuing our series today, Now for Eternity, and today's message is titled, The Certainty of the Uncertainty. You know, I read a story about a young boy named Ben who had heard more than one sermon about the importance of giving his heart to Christ. And Ben was a good and loving kid. He enjoyed church, but his parents were troubled that he had stubbornly resisted repeated invitations to give his life to Christ. He had no excuse or explanations. He simply kept telling them, "I'm not ready. I'm not ready." This went on for several months. Then one morning, as the family was sitting around the kitchen table having breakfast, little Ben announced that he was finally ready to give his life to Christ. At that moment, he promptly got up from the table and he went upstairs. As his surprised parents followed, more than half expecting to find Ben on his knees in prayer to receive Christ. Instead, they found little Ben folding his Star Wars pajamas into his Sesame Street suitcase. "Ben, what are you doing?" they asked. And he said, "Packing." "Why?" "Because I'm going to heaven," he said. Then they understood why their son had hesitated to give his life to Christ for all these months. He thought that the moment that he did, he would have to leave his parents and literally move to heaven to be with the Lord. You know, sometimes even adults can get a little confused about spiritual matters as well. In fact, the disciples got a little mixed up when Jesus departed from the earth and they kept looking up into the clouds, squinting their eyes against the glare, staring into the heavens as if expecting Jesus to come right back down to earth again. It finally took a little bit of an angelic nudge, if you will, to shake these bewildered men from their preoccupation. Read with me, if you will, Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The scripture says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven?" These are the angels that came and appeared to them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into the heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go." Now, the message of the angel was pointed and powerful, and it's still important for us today. Our faith assures us that Jesus is coming again. But our focus must not be staring up into the heavens waiting for his return, but our focus must be on accomplishing the king's business here on earth until the day that he comes back. You know, the enemy is very subtle in his tactics, and he often uses even the facts of Jesus's return to distract us from our focus of what we need to be doing until Jesus comes back. In Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples asked Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" They want to know the time. They want to know, when is all of this going to happen? And as we read on in Matthew 24, Jesus reveals that certain signs would make it obvious, indicating the nearness of his return. But then he concludes in Matthew 24:42. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord shall come." So he says, there's signs that are going to let you know that you're living in the end times. I believe that we're seeing these signs. I believe the coronavirus is one of those signs. But if you want more information on some of those signs, listen to last week's message. It's right there on Facebook and YouTube for you. But even though we'll have these signs as believers that will let us know when we're living in the age or the time period near to his return, we still do not know the exact moment or hour of his return. But the disciples would not give up, and they would ask Jesus the when question again right before his ascension in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. The scripture says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him." They kept asking, and this was something ongoing. "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" And for them, the restoration of Israel was a key prophetic event that predicted the end time. We spoke about that last week. And Jesus replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." But I want you to notice the disciples never lost their interest in the time question. When is this going to happen? And you can't blame them. After all that they had been through with Jesus, it was perfectly reasonable that they would wonder, when was he going to establish his kingdom, which he had spoken about so much? And their desire to know when is really common to all of us. That's why we have such an interest in end time prophecies. But we must also notice Jesus' very pointed answer in Acts 1 verses 7 and 8. The scripture says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. So again, Jesus assures them the end will come, but he redirects their focus to doing the work that he has sent them to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus repeatedly emphasized the certainty of his coming while at the same time emphasizing the uncertainty of the timing of his return. These passages teach us three vital principles to keep us from being confused about the end time. First, avoid the danger of date setting. Avoid the danger of date setting. The danger of date setting is a distraction. The end will come. Everything Jesus said is going to happen just as he said it will. That's a fact that you can know, that you can count on. It's enough for you to know with certainty that it will happen. But God does not deem it necessary for us to know when it will happen. In fact, that is something that Jesus repeats multiple times in Matthew 24. In verse 36, he says, no one knows the day or the hour. Verse 42, he says, keep watch because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. Verse 44, he says, so you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And then jumping over into chapter 25, verse 13, still talking about the end times, Jesus said, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. So five times in this prophetic passage of scripture, why would Jesus spend so much time emphasizing the uncertainty of the hour or the fact that no one knows the moment when he will return? He even uses the imagery of a thief who breaks in at night. And he said if the owner of a home knew what time the thief was coming, he certainly would be on guard and he would not allow his home to be broken into and his property stolen. So Jesus is making the point that just as a thief does not call ahead in order to warn of his impending arrival, this is how the end is going to come. This is how the return of Jesus is going to be. What does that mean? It means it's going to be a day of surprise. The thief comes unexpectedly when people are going about life as usual and they're not thinking about his return. And so many people are going to be unprepared. Of course, that day should not catch us unawares because we know the truth and we know the signs. And so as believers, we ought to be ready. But it is going to be a day of surprise for most of the world. And it's going to be a day of suddenness. It's going to happen so quickly that before people can get their wits about them and do anything about it, it's going to have already happened. Now this passage in Matthew 24 is referencing the second coming of Christ. It's not talking about rapture. Remember, the rapture is at the very beginning of the tribulation when Jesus comes in the clouds to take his church out of the world before the outpouring of all of the terrible judgments and suffering of the tribulation period. This passage is actually speaking about what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation, the second coming, when Jesus returns to earth, fights the battle of Armageddon, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil and his angels, and all of the wicked of the earth are going to be bound and cast into the bottomless pit. So this is describing the second coming. It says it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen with surprise. If the second coming, after 7 years of tribulation, is going to seem so sudden and it's going to take people by surprise, then how much more the rapture that's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, before all of the tribulation, how much more sudden is that going to be? The fact that Jesus spends that much time emphasizing the uncertainty of the hour, repeatedly declaring the unexpectedness of the time, it carries a powerful message in itself. Jesus was trying to prevent the disciples from being distracted. He was trying to prevent them from having a preoccupation with and trying to figure out when these things would be. And his repeated warnings are recorded for us by the Spirit because the Lord understood that this could be a great danger for believers in the future as well. A preoccupation of trying to figure out the time of when this would occur. The truth is that this issue has caused much confusion and reproach in the church for centuries. There have been people throughout church history that have ignored the repeated declaration of Scripture that no one knows the day or the hour. And they've set dates. Jesus says, not the angels, not even the Son knows. You say, how come not even, Jesus would say, not even the Son knows when he's God and God is supposed to be omniscient? What we need to realize is that when Jesus said that, he was on earth. And so while he was on earth, he was limited. But if even Jesus, the Son, when he walked on earth, did not know the day or the hour that he was coming back, what audacity it takes for someone to presume to know something that even Jesus did not know. Yet despite what appears to be an obvious truth, there have been numerous attempts throughout time to set dates for the return of Christ. In 1983, a woman named Mary Stuart Relfe said she received a revelation telling her that World War III would commence in 1989 and that the tribulation would follow in 1990. Well, here we are. Didn't happen. Lester Sumrall, who was a once popular TV preacher, predicted that the end would come in the year 2000 and Jesus would establish his 1,000-year reign on earth. And of course, it's 2020, and it didn't happen. Date setting distracts us. We get preoccupied with figuring out when the second coming is going to happen. And while we have all of that preoccupation of trying to figure that out, we fail to do what Jesus left us here to do. See, what we need to know is Jesus is coming again. And that the world is lost. That we are living in the end times because we can see the signs. And that most of the world is going to be caught unawares, unsaved, like a thief in the night. And we have been given a task to do. This gospel of the kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. That's our job, to make sure the gospel is preached in all the world. So let's not get distracted by vain speculation, but rather let us be devoted to reaching as many people as we can before Jesus comes. The danger of date setting is that it also fosters doubt. When we deny the scriptural truth that no man knows the day or the hour and we persist to set dates, and then of course it doesn't happen, it brings the gospel into doubt in people's minds. People begin to doubt anything that is presented to them as the gospel thereafter. In 1988, a man by the name of Edgar Wisenant published a book titled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988. Edgar Wisenant was a former rocket scientist known to have had impressive academic credentials. And in this booklet, Wisenant claimed to have made several scientific calculations based on biblical data that proved that Jesus would return September 12, 1988. It's reported that many Christian families became so alarmed at this information, even to the extent of pulling their children out of school so that their families could be together for the coming of Jesus. Of course, Jesus didn't come in 1988, so Wisenant and a new co-author named Greg Brewer published a sequel. The Final Shout, The Rapture Report 1989 was the name of it. And he revised his calculations to determine that Jesus would return on September 1st, 1989, give or take a day or two. If that failed, then he said Jesus would return on Rosh Hashanah 1990, or 1991, or 1992, and if not then, then most certainly September 15th through the 17th, 1993. Wow. You know, all of these changes. As we all know, these predictions failed as well, and it caused a lot of doubt, not only in the hearts of Christians who believed what he was saying, but among unbelievers. it brought the Bible into question in the minds of unbelievers. We need to avoid the danger of date setting and act on what we do know, that Jesus is coming back soon. I believe he's coming back in our lifetime in the very near future. Secondly, we need to avoid the disrepute of date setting. In Matthew 24, 23 through 27, Jesus said that if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And this is another warning against setting dates and a reemphasis on the suddenness of his return. We need to realize date setting contradicts the Bible and brings the gospel into disrepute. Jesus makes it clear that at the end, they're going to be the end times are going to be marked by all sorts of false teachings or declarations about his coming. Some are going to say, look, he's already here. He's in the desert. Or look, he's already here. He's in this building. And the nature of this preaching is going to be wild speculations about the coming of Christ, saying he's here in this particular place, this particular location where you have to go. One of the well-known cases of date setting in recent times was when a man named Harold Camping, president of Family Radio, predicted that Christ was going to return in 1994. And obviously that didn't happen, but he predicted again that Christ would return May 21st of 2011. When that didn't happen, he changed it to October 21st, 2011. And his followers didn't learn their lesson by the failures of each of those dates, nor did they read their Bible to know that we're not supposed to set dates. Some were so convinced of Camping's date setting, they sold everything to announce this prediction all across America. And of course, every time one of those false predictions are made, especially one so widely and publicly announced as this was on radio, it gets caught up in the media. And it fuels the unbelief of the world. We must remain anchored to the truth of God's word. In verse 27, Jesus uses the analogy of lightning to describe his return. When lightning strikes, it's visible to everyone. And Jesus, when he comes, it's not going to be some hidden secret in a corner of the world somewhere. It's going to be visible to everyone. We're not going to need some self-proclaimed prophetic preacher who has an inside scoop to tell us that Jesus is here or Jesus is there. It's going to be visible when Jesus returns. And lightning, he said, is going to come from the east and shine even unto the west. And what he's saying is his return is going to be of worldwide magnitude. It's not going to be in some limited place like the desert or a room somewhere. And when he talks about lightning, lightning also strikes with suddenness. You can tell when the meteorological environment is conducive to lightning, but you can't tell when lightning is going to strike. There again is the factor of the unknown. Jesus tells us that we need to remember the sudden nature of his coming and the unpredictability of the timing, because this is going to be one of the key points of the end time deception that is going to deceive many, even the very elect. These types of spurious prediction is what causes the world to mock, make fun of, and reject the gospel. And say, we've been hearing that Christ's been coming for years and nothing has happened, and this one predicted this and that one predicted that. Rather than spending our time speculating about the timing of Christ's return, we should spend our time living the life of Christ as an authentic witness to the world and doing the work of Christ in the world. If the church truly lives like Christ in the world, if we truly love like Christ in the world, if we truly think and act like Christ in the world, and if we truly carry on the ministry of Christ in the world, we will make a powerful impact for the sake of the gospel before Christ returns. That's what we need to be doing. Thirdly and finally, avoid the deception of date setting. Read with me, if you will, Matthew 24. We're going to read verses 42 through 45. Jesus said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of his servants in his household to give them food at their proper time? What I want us to realize is that date setting defeats urgency. The greatest motivation that we have for living a godly life and for doing the work Christ has called us to do is that he can come back at any moment. And so we need to be ready all the time. We want to be found as a faithful and wise servant doing what he left us to do at his return. Now, if we know that he's coming back on the second Tuesday of next month, the only urgency that we have is a day or two before to get our life right and maybe to do something for Christ, to witness to our friends, our family members, or what have you. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been embarrassed by the knock of an unexpected visitor at the door of your home? You didn't know that they were going to come over, so perhaps your house is not quite in the order that you generally like it to be to receive guests. You know, maybe you haven't vacuumed in a couple of days, you haven't dusted, maybe the dishes are in the sink or whatever it might be. However, if you know that you're having guests this Friday night, what do? For a few days before, you start dusting and vacuuming, etc., so that your house is in the proper order for the arrival of your guests. Well, you see, that's why God doesn't want us to know the timing. Because if we know the timing, then a few days before, we'll get our life in order. But when we don't know the timing, then we need to live every day ready for his return. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, he tells us that living with the expectancy that Christ could come back at any moment motivates us to say no to sin and worldly desires and to live a self-controlled, righteous, and godly life every single day so that we'll be ready for his return. So that uncertainty of not knowing the moment when Christ will return is a motivation for us to say no to sin and to seek to live a God-honoring life. Date setting defeats that urgency. And date setting also promotes apathy. In Romans 13, 11 through 12, Paul says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." But I want you to hear that phrase, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." He's talking about the return of Christ. And he's saying, church, wake up from your slumber. You've been relaxing, you've been complacent, you've been apathetic, but we need to realize that the coming of Jesus is nearer now than it has ever been, and we need to wake up, we need to be alert, and we need to be living every moment ready, because his coming is near. It's nearer than when Jesus spoke about it. It's nearer than when Paul spoke about it. It's nearer than when we first believed. And we can easily lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. We get all caught up in the busyness of this world, and we lose sight that he could come back at any moment, and we enter into a spiritual slumber. A spiritual slumber. We need to live with that constant expectation. We need to be diligent and faithfully serving him, doing the work he has left us to do, making sure that we reach as many people as possible with the gospel so that they'll be ready for that day and they'll not be left behind to endure the terrible judgment that is to come. God in his wisdom did not let us know the day or the hour because he didn't want us to lose our urgency and become apathetic. He wants us to live every day awake and alert that this could be the day that he comes back. Like the little boy Ben at the beginning of our message, we need to live with our bags packed, spiritually speaking. We need to live ready. We need to be doing what Christ has called us to do, living like Christ has called us to live, loving like Christ has called us to love, serving like Christ has called us to serve, witnessing like Christ has called us to witness, so that any time that he returns, we will not be caught off guard, but we will be ready. Every morning, we should awaken with a sense that this could be the day. We are already seeing the signs unfolding before our eyes. The question is, are you ready? And the first and most important step to being ready is to repent of our sins and to place our faith in Christ. The Word tells us that we have all sinned and that sin breaks our relationship with God and makes us deserving of God's judgment. But God loves us so much that he has made a way for us to be forgiven of our sins and saved from the judgment that is to come through Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth. He lived a sinless life, and he gave his life on the cross, taking the penalty for sin that we deserve, so that now through him we can be forgiven, that we could be made right with God, and that we can have eternal life. If you have not yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, and repent simply means to turn away from, that we realize that the way that we've been living in disregard to God is not about a specific sin, but it's just about living life our own way instead of a life that honors God and is pleasing to him. And we recognize the way that we've been living is wrong. We turn our back on that and say, God, forgive me. I don't want to live that way any longer. And we turn to God in faith. We ask him to forgive us, and we receive him as our Lord and Savior. He gives us the wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you have not yet prayed that prayer, then I want to encourage you to pray with me right now, to repent of your sins, to place your faith in Jesus, and to receive his gracious gift of salvation. Or maybe you prayed this years ago and you've drifted away and you know you need to come back and recommit your life to the Lord. And if you want to do that, I encourage you to pray with me right now. My words are not special, but it's your heart in faith and sincerity. And as you pray this prayer with me, I'm just going to pray a phrase and you pray it right where you are. Then I'll pray another phrase. You pray it right where you are. And as you pray that prayer in faith and sincerity, God is going to forgive you. God is going to give you new life. God is going to make you his child. And you can claim heaven as your eternal home. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent of my sin. I turn away from the life I've been living, and I confess that I'm a sinner. Today, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins, and I turn to you in faith. I invite you to come live inside of me. Give me new life. Help me from this day forward to live a life that is pleasing to you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. And I want to ask you right now, in the comments, just type, I prayed. Just type, I prayed. Why? Because we want to celebrate with you, but also because we want to send you a free e-booklet that will help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. It's very short, but it just tells you more about what decision you've just made and how it's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord and the things that you need to do to grow in that relationship with God. It's free. It'll be sent to you electronically, but that's why we need your email address. So if you'll just say, I prayed, and then later today, somebody's going to send you a congratulations message with a link. And if you'll click on that link, it's an electronic card, and just fill in your name and email address information, and that way we can send you this free e-booklet. But in the meantime, three brief steps to grow in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to him every day. That's called prayer. Don't need any special language. Talk to him as you would a friend. Begin each prayer by thanking him for the blessings that he has given you, the good things in your life. And then Invite him into your day. Invite him into any challenges, any problems, any needs that you might have, and ask him to work. Surrender it to him. If you're struggling with any sins or habits that you know are not pleasing to him, ask him to help you to change in those areas. That's prayer. And then the second thing you need to do is let God talk to you every day. And the number one way God talks to us is through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to download it on your device or your phone. Download the YouVersion app. It's free. You can read it there for free. I use the YouVersion app a lot, so I encourage you to do that. And every single day, I want you to start in 1 John. That's a book in the New Testament. It's short. It's only 5 chapters, but it tells you who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And before you read each day, just ask God to help you understand what he's saying and what it means for your life. And then just read a few verses each day, 5 or 6 verses, and then you might want to have a notebook and just jot down what you sense that verse is saying and how you sense God is speaking to you through that passage. And then the third thing you need to do is get connected to a local church where you can build relationships with other believers that will walk alongside of you in this journey and help to encourage and support you and learn how to live out your new faith in Christ. And also where you can be taught through the preaching and teaching of the church more about who God is and what he wants for your life. Of course, currently due to COVID-19, we are not presently hosting in-person services, but until then, we encourage you to continue to tune in with us online for our live stream services and continue to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Lord and his desire for your life. Then once we start meeting in person, we'll be announcing it during our services. We encourage you to come and visit with us and start getting connected in relationships. We have a wonderful body of Christ, a wonderful family of God here that is waiting to welcome you. Congratulations once again. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, I want to encourage you to just commit yourself anew to him today, to living a godly life, to doing what is right, and to serving our Master faithfully and diligently in ministry and witnessing to reach as many people as possible before he returns, so that when he comes, he will find us faithfully doing the work that he's left us to do. Would you, if you're a believer, pray that prayer with me and just recommit yourself to that this morning. Use your own words as I lead us out in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the wonderful promise of Jesus' return. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us signs so that we will be able to tell the nearness of his coming. And we know that we are living in that time right now before the return of Christ. Father, as we stand before you today, we recommit ourselves to you, Lord God, because sometimes with the passing of time, we can become complacent and the promise of Christ's return, we can kind of put it on a back shelf. But Lord, let us live every day with the awareness that you could come back today. And let us commit ourselves to living every day rightly for you, Lord God, to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to you each and every day, and to be committed, Lord God, to doing your work and to being witnesses and reaching the lost for you, so that when you return, you will find us, Lord God, faithfully doing the work that you have left us to do. We commit ourselves to this today, but we realize that even though our spirit is willing, our flesh is often weak, and so we need the help of your Holy Spirit. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, come, remind us of this commitment that we've made today. Remind us every day that Jesus could come back at any moment, and help us by your power to live a life that is honoring to Christ and to do Christ's work to reach the lost with the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, new life. We love you. When you go out, wear a mask, social distance, keep safe, be healthy. You are in our prayers. Have a wonderful Sunday. We love you. God bless you.